Hey cousin, welcome to Coco Conjure. Here we talk about all things hoodoo, folklore, and spiritual journeys. My goal is to give foundation to the novice and inspiration to the advanced practitioner. If you have not guessed already, my name is Coco. Cousin, did you know that you could leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts? This review is from Cardio and Vodka, lovely username. This cousin says, a great perspective on hoodoo. I heard about this podcast through Reddit and it has not disappointed me yet. It gives a great perspective into hoodoo from a different lens. I love that she is able to articulate the information well and provide resources or receipts for the information that she puts out there. While I may not agree with everything that is said, and that's fine because everyone can look at things differently and objectively, she does an excellent job overall. She earns 5 stars with every single episode. Trust me, Coco is worth a listen. Cardio and Vodka, cousin, you are the best. Thank you for taking the time and leaving a review. I appreciate your support. All right, so what's on the agenda for today? Okay. So cousin, I was talking to a friend the other day and she was telling me how she was going through it, like it. Okay. Like the major arenas in her life, love, wealth, wellness, they were all kind of crashing out on her. And she felt like she was the cause. Like she had done something so egregious and so heinous that the crash out was God's punishment for her behavior. I feel like any person who grew up in the church grew up with God as a divine and all-powerful father figure. This thought has probably crossed your mind, right? The idea that God and all his omnipresence and omnipotence is sitting with you at all times, waiting for you to just fuck up and break a commandment, right? Waiting for the moment to be like, I knew you wasn't shit, you know, and then go full Old Testament, Sodom and Gomorrah, pillar of salt, lightning strikes on your ass. It's Catholic guilt. It's Southern Baptist fire and brimstone. It's the pastor telling you that you are going to hell every Sunday for the last 500 Sundays unless you stop wearing pants as a woman and you start acting like a man if you're a dude and you start putting money in that collection plate, you know? First of all, cousin, I need you to hear me when I say this. I need you to just open your mind that what I'm going to tell you is possibly a truth, okay? God is not punishing you for being a human being on earth. After being the one to set creation into motion, after creating a system of temptation and righteousness and heaven and hell, punishing you for being who you were created to be is some sick shit. It's like punishing your cat for chasing squirrels. It's like kicking your 4-year-old out of the house because they said, you know, that they said that it was 1-2-5 instead of 1-2-3. Okay. Like we all give into temptations and we are not perfect. And this omnipotent divine being knew that was going to be the case when they decided to set life into motion anyway. Don't talk to me about Adam and Eve and choice. The choices were made before you even made the choice. It was seen, it was known, it was understood. And yet this God, the God of Abraham, decided to set life into motion anyway, knowing that this is what was going to be. So following a God that's stressing you out, or, you know, you're stressed out because you fear your life will be destroyed because you decided to skedaddle skadoot off the narrow path, is a wild idea. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. Why not just remove these temptations from your path? Some say it's a test of faith. Okay, but he knows if you are faithful and if you are not. He knew that before you took your breath, before your mother took your breath, before your mother's mother took her breath. It was always known. It was always written. He knows that when push comes to shove, if you are his, then you are his. So there is no need to test anything. No need to dish out divine wrath. Furthermore, there are people out here that are living well, eating every day, loving their families, enjoying what the world has to offer, all while going out of their way to destroy other people's lives. So what, cousin? Your small mistake is so bad that you deserve to have your entire life upended. But God is letting dictatorial world leaders and wannabe kings eat Big Macs and sleep on goose down feathers in peace? He sees fit that some innocent child who did nothing but take a breath deserves poverty? Deserves to not live as well as what you're living now? Your punishment is immediate and swift, but full-on monsters who go out of their way to fuck up the environment, to fuck up other people's lives in the name of money and power get a super slow burn. And babies who didn't even get a chance to choose deserve to just live in squalor and never have a chance to do anything or be anything better than where they are. That sounds fucked up. And lastly, if you're worshiping a God that you feel will let you suffer, a God that will punish you after he made you to be imperfect, after he saw at the beginning of time that all of us will be imperfect, and then uses those imperfections to generate a fear response in you so you stay on the straight and narrow, then that is not a God worth following. And if the thought of not following the Abrahamic God makes you shudder because you feel deep in your soul that his truth is your truth, then cousin, you might need to rethink, redefine your relationship with your God, because the one that you seem to think that you're in is just abusive. It's just abusive. I said what I said, and I hope that you heard me. So why am I talking about this on a Hoodoo podcast? Besides, you know, being something that I think every Christian or someone who is in a faith crisis needs to hear. I hold firm in my belief that Hoodoo does not view divinity in this way. Divine spirits, God, or whoever you follow are there for you to work your magic through. You call on them to help tempt your fate, rewrite your path. It's not a divine spirit's function in Hoodoo to dole out the carrot and the stick of reward and punishment. Even if you are Christian and you are like me and my friend and you got the fire and brimstone warnings every Sunday in church and every Wednesday during Bible study, you have to understand that there is no moral system inherent to Hoodoo. There is no ethics system inherent to Hoodoo. Outside of the cultural aspects, the magic in Hoodoo is driven by need. You need money, you do fast money work. You need your wife to come home to you at night, you do a love work. You need your boss to look at you favorably, you fix them up. You need your enemies out the way, then you lay them out flat. There is no inherent system of good and bad in Hoodoo. It's just need. There's only what you bring in. Only what your soul can handle. So if you come to this practice thinking God is fire and brimstone, you're going to end up torturing yourself. You have to walk into this work thinking that you are the fire and brimstone and God grants you access to it. I think it's better to say that Hoodoo is a system of actions and reactions, or actions and consequences. You make a choice, you do the work, and you have to be prepared, you know, to live with the consequences that follow. I say that, and cousin, you might be thinking that consequences are still punishments, right? But it's not. It's just reactions to your actions. So sure, you do love work to keep your wife in your bed. and boop, boop, a doop. She's angry and not acting like herself because she wants to leave you and can't figure out why she cannot make her mind to do so. But it's also fair to say that you do work to keep your wife in your bed and bam, shoot, blah, bloop. She's happy to see you come home and is all in on making a life with you. Both are actions and consequences. One turned out well, one didn't. And if you ask me, that's life in general. You make a choice and you work your magic and then you deal with the consequences related to your actions. Then you take action based on those reactions and consequences and so on until death ushers you into glory. So this model of action and consequence, action and reaction, you'll hear a novice describe this as karma. Someone did something trashy, right? And then something bad happened to them, like a car crash or something. And you say, that's instant karma. Or Wendy Williams. Wendy Williams spent her entire career being messy, talking about other people. And now that she's older, her life is messy. It's just messy, right? And so you might say, after the life she've led, you know, her karma finally caught up to her. But when we talk like this, when we think like this, we are still talking and thinking in the realms of divine retribution. We are still working in this model of reward and punishment. And more importantly, you are not actually talking about karma in the way that karma exists within the Buddhist religious model. During my spiritual walkabout, before Hoodoo became my foundations, I exposed my mind to Buddhism, specifically Mahayana Buddhism, and the teachings of Tibetan Buddhist monk, I'm about to butcher this person's name. I am so sorry. I think it's Geshe Glassang Gyatso, Monk Gyatso. I went to meditation classes and I sat for his teachings that he taught another monk at this temple. And the explanation of karma was something that took me a bit to grasp because I had the same idea that it's an instant, it's an immediate, it's a, you know, within this lifetime reward and punishment system. I'm going to do my best to try here to explain how I understand karma to be, how I was taught it. If you would like to gain your own understanding, I invite you to pick up Monk Gyatso's book, Introduction to Buddhism, An Explanation of the Buddhist Way of Life. I will make sure that I leave the full title and Monk Gyatso's full name in the description box so that way you can look it up for yourself. But in this book, he writes, to understand the laws that govern rebirth from one life to another, we need to understand karma. Karma is a Sanskrit term meaning action. All intentional bodily, verbal, and mental actions are karma. Sometimes when Buddhists experience suffering or misfortune, they say, "This is my karma," and accept it patiently. Strictly speaking, however, the suffering we experience is not actual karma, but the effect of karma that we have accumulated either in previous lives or earlier in this life. He goes on to say, whether an action is good, bad, or neutral depends principally on the intention that motivates it. Good or virtuous actions are the main cause of rebirth in the higher realms and of future happiness, while bad and non-virtuous actions are the main cause of rebirth in the lower realms and of future suffering. So we are back to this, you know, divine reward system, except this time it's generated by you and not an outside force. That seems a little more fair. If I'm being honest with you. At least that was my thought when I was going through these meditations. And what we're saying here is that karma is any intentional mental, physical, or verbal action taken. That's what generates the karma, like a point system. And when you die, depending on your scorecard and how you died, how your mind was when you died, did you reach peace in your life? That's going to determine where you are reborn in one of the six realms, right? So one of which is high, like like think God like. And one of them is like, you know, earth, you know, and maybe you're an animal or something, or another, you become a human again. And then another is like hell, right? you understand what I'm saying? So this cycle of karma and rebirth, that's called the wheel of samsara. That's what we're on. If you're a Buddhist, that's what you believe we're on. The goal here is to liberate yourself and others from suffering so that you are enlightened and no longer running on the wheel of samsara, no longer generating, collecting karma. Monk Gyatso goes on to say, our mind is like a field, and performing actions like sowing seeds in that field. Virtuous actions sow seeds of future happiness, and non-virtuous actions sow seeds of future suffering. These seeds remain dormant in our mind until the conditions for them to ripen occur, and then they produce their effect. In some cases, this can happen many lifetimes after the original action was performed. He goes on to say, virtuous actions or good karma are the main causes not only of rebirth in higher realms of humans and gods, but also of happiness and good fortune in general. Thus, if these things go well for us in this life, if we have good health, comfortable living conditions, and good relationships with others, or if we met with success in our activities, this is our previous good karma ripening. Similarly, success in our spiritual practice and all other spiritual attainments are the result of virtuous karma. On the other hand, all the suffering we experience in this life, such as sickness, poverty, conflict, accidents, and harm from human beings and non-human beings, is the result of our own past karma. So what is Monk Gyatso teaching us? The biggest takeaway is that karma is not the instant slam or punishment that we think it is. Karma is good, bad, neutral, depending on how you live. And the fruits of your behavior, the karma, will ripen after your mind has already separated from your body and you were reborn again. Usually. So if someone suffers in a car crash now, according to this karmic law described, this is their karma catching up to them from a lifetime or two ago. And if you are sitting wealthy and happy and eating good with the body of an Olympian, then you can thank the karma you generated from two life cycles ago. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not now. Now that you understand karma as I understand it, I'm going to say something that's going to upset the other half of you that did not click off of this podcast when I was talking about God and fire and brimstone. The fact is, we participate in hoodoo because we have the need now. That's how low magic systems work. You have a need, so you do it now, right? We need the blessings yesterday. And like I've already described, we work within this need always. So we need the consequences of our actions to generate within our lifetime, preferably before, like now, like preferably I want the money at this moment, right? Preferably in the next couple of weeks, I would like this person I did love work on to come back to me. Like that's how we operate in hoodoo. So, this karma system is not inherent to hoodoo, not in its true understanding anyway. You don't do the work and say, that'll get them in their next life. Or you call for your blessings and get inside excited because it'll reach you, you know, two lifetimes from now. Not that you'll remember it, because maybe you didn't generate enough good karma in your life now, and now you are reborn into an animal realm and you're just trying not to be eaten, right? Hoodoo works in need, and we need our miracles and blessings now. And this karma, what karma really means, will not satisfy your need or fix your ailment within the hoodoo system. So yes, like karma, we have action and reaction. But unlike karma, we're not worried about what happens after we die. We're not doing this to save, you know, all of humanity from suffering. We're not looking for enlightenment. We're trying to fix our problems now. And I think you cannot co-opt the karmic system wholesale into hoodoo. It just doesn't fit. It doesn't fit nicely. So, cousin, as you walk this path, you need to understand that hoodoo does not hold the carrot and stick of major world religions, that good and bad are irrelevant in this practice. It's more about what you can live with doing and what you cannot live with doing. I can live with calling money to me. I can live with, fixing a neighbor so she leaves me the hell alone and she calms the fuck down. I cannot live with death work. I cannot live with knowing that my partner next to me is only with me because I bound them to me. Do you understand? Those are things I cannot live with, but maybe you can live with them as you do your hoodoo. I don't know. And as you continue your work, you have to understand that you are not going to face divine punishment, or at least you need to release yourself from the idea that you will face divine wrath from God, right? And if, let me put it a different way. It's good to have a code of ethics, but you have to build it for yourself. And if you decide to have your code of ethics rooted in religious systems, you need to be prepared to traverse a minefield, because you have some serious questions to ask yourself. Is it good karma to make someone's mind in your favor? I don't know. It's not. It's like, I don't think it is, right? What does the fire and brimstone version of God think about you lighting up a doom candle? Is he going to be okay with that? Is he going to be okay with you calling upon the death of your enemies? Right? That's still murder. All right, that's enough of me talking about that. We've reached the part of the podcast where I root around online in Facebook, Hoodoo Spaces, and Reddit, all of the occult spaces on Reddit. And I read a question I find. The first question, both questions are from Facebook Hoodoo group. The first one says, I know the consequences of revenge, but my intrusive thoughts feel otherwise. Part of me wants to tap into my dark side, but the other side doesn't want the karma. How do I heal? Okay. I would say that karmically speaking, the very fact that you're thinking about getting revenge and harming someone has already got you some negative karmas on the scorecard, right? Like, you've already generated it. So if we're talking karma, then you need to go and say a few prayers, do some meditations, and work on scrubbing that from your scorecard. That's the actual answer. More toward hoodoo and karma, meaning you don't want you don't want the consequence of the action. Right? Then don't do it, bro. Don't do it, sis. Don't do it, cousin. If it's not worth it, if it's not worth it to you to gain revenge on the consequences that might follow you in your lifetime, then just don't do it. That'll solve the problem. How do you heal, though? That was the main question. So how do you heal after someone's done something to you that you feel driven to get revenge? Like, it's that bad. Not to cross religions, but you need to forgive. Yeah, you're gonna have to forgive them. Forgive the actions taken against you. Stare it in the face and say, you did this to me. I may not forget it, and I will no longer participate in, you know, your life or whatever the drama is. But I choose in this moment to forgive you for what you've done. That's hard. That's really hard to do. But in order to let it go, you got to forgive it. don't be stupid. Like I said, you might not forget about it, and you might decide that the appropriate reaction to what they did is to not mess with that person anymore. But if you don't want it to weigh on your mind, if you don't want the thoughts of what they've done to drive you forward, then you need to take control of your thoughts, control of the situation, and forgive it and let it go. And then move forward in peace. If you need help clearing your mind, you can do a head washing. You can go to the river. I like that. I like going to the river with my problems when it's warm enough, because child, it was snowing up until about 2 weeks ago in Baltimore. So, but you go down to the river and put your feet in and speak it to the water, speak the problem to the water, and let the river carry the problem away. You can do that too. But the answer is you have to forgive it. Okay, so the next question is, I like this one. This one's kind of funny to me. Great rising, everyone. I hope all is well. Okay, so I had a disagreement with someone weeks ago, and they told me I was going to go to jail because I told them when I have children, I was going to discipline them if they ever displayed bad behavior. We patched things up, but suddenly a few days before Christmas, he ended up getting locked up. Is that karma or manifestation? The answer, if you ask me, which you didn't, I just decided to answer it. But if you ask me, the answer is it's just a reaction to what they did. It's the consequence of their behavior. They did something good, bad, or ugly, because we both know that just because you got locked up doesn't mean you did the thing. But they were in a place at a time, you know, whatever the random occurrence was, that was the action, and then they got locked up. Although basically it sounds like the way that you're answering the question, it sounds like they deserve to get locked up. Right? So I guess in this case, they did something they shouldn't have done against the law, whatever, and then they got locked up. Like, that's just a consequence to their behavior in life. But I do think it's funny that a lot of times people will speak over you in a way that is piss poor, almost like a curse, you know. And we generate blessing all the time as hoodoos. We generate blessing. We call our blessings all the time. We call blessings for our community all the time. And another part of our work, because we know that there are things we need protection from, is we have shields up all the time. We're always protected. We're always blessed in that way as well, of protection. And so sometimes someone will say something to us and say something nasty, say something that feels like a curse, like they're speaking against you, like they're jinxing you. And you're blessed, so it doesn't take hold. That seed does not take root. But they've opened themselves up to consequences, right? So it feels like it feels like karma in the very pop culture way of, like, you said this to me, you planted the seed, and now it grew in your yard, right? You know? But no, it's not karma. And it's not, I guess in the new age way, you could say manifestation, because they were so convinced about jail and then it happened to them. Sure, you could go there, but I don't think it's that either. I think it's just people behaving badly, and then, you know, or in the wrong place, the wrong time, they took an action and they got caught up in the consequences of it, you know? Sad facts, I guess. Y'all know a friend of mine, this is so off the, there's no outline for this. I don't even know why it came to my mind or anything. But a friend of mine said to me once, she said, "You're very, like, reasonably thinking." Like, you're very scientific, reasonably thinking. Like, you don't automatically reach for, you know, spiritual answers. And I guess she's right, because, like, I don't know, it was playing back in my mind the questions that for today, for this episode. And I'm like, yeah, I guess she's right, you know. But I think that if there's one thing that practicing hoodoo, that working in this space has taught me, is that sometimes things just are, right? That not everything requires this super spiritual answer, you know? And it also taught me that there is a lot of magic in the mundane. There's a lot of spiritual answers, spiritual life, I should say, that's happening in front of us all the time. But we don't recognize it that way because it's just how life is, you know? And I like that. I like the fact that those spiritual answers are so close without being, you know, Hollywood big, without the woo-woo attached, you know. I think that it also, I want to say that it also keeps me tethered to not always think that the spiritual answer is the answer. It also keeps me tethered to this earth. It keeps me tethered to reality around me. It makes me always say, well, what's really happening here, you know? Now, I might have a spiritual solution, right? And also that means that when all of the other answers run out and there is no more mundane reason as to why, and the spiritual one is the reason, it makes it all the more special, you know? I don't know. I don't know why that popped into my head. Okay, we've reached the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for staying with me as long as you have. I said some things in this podcast that Cardio and Vodka is right. Like, it's just me and how I operate, right? And you either agree or don't agree, but I hope I gave you something to think about. That's always what I'm pushing for. I'm not trying to be, you know, Andrew Tate levels of controversial. I'm just, right, I'm just trying to provide a framework for someone walking in and for someone who's been at this for a while to just poke at their system a bit, get them to think about how they practice, what they want out of their practice, what's their relationship with divinity, what's their relationship with other forms of faith, other practices of religion and spiritual life. I think that's important. I think that's how we grow. I think that's how we understand and solidify our own practices. So thank you so much for just staying as long as you have. If I didn't make you run away, I appreciate you. Cousin, before we get out of here, I want to let you know that you deserve the world, okay? That it's okay if you stumble, and it's okay if you fall, and it's okay if you consciously make a choice that is not the best choice morally, ethically, one that sits well with you. Because you can always correct that. You can always correct that later, you know. You can come out of that on the other side. And God is not punishing you. God is not punishing you for being a human being, for making a mistake. The question is always, can I live with this? Can I live with the consequences of my behavior? That's always the question. Bring it there first. Then ask God, your God, to help you through. Okay? And if you ask for your blessings, whether it's through the Abrahamic God, the Buddha, whoever, I promise you, they will come to you. I'll see you guys next time.